Welcome to the City Center Podcast from West Palm Beach, Florida. I'm Jerry Marcello. West Palm Beach, like every other community in the United States, has rules and codes that govern just about every structure, every lot, every road that falls under the city's control. These rules mostly address safety concerns, but many also address aesthetic concerns, like how a home looks, the care of the trees, shrubs, and much, much more. Joining me today to talk about it is Valerie Luster, Code Enforcement Officer for the City of West Palm Beach. Valerie, welcome.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here. Let's start with the basics. What is a city code, and where do they come from, and what do they really intend to do?
Well, a city code is actually an ordinance, and you have city ordinances, you have county ordinances, and you have state statutes that code enforcement actually enforces.
An ordinance is a code.
And it's basically something that the commission and the mayor comes up with, and planning and zoning administrator, because they're all types of codes, building codes, sanitation codes, just regular codes. And it's in to ensure the improvement of the city as a whole.
Okay.
It's to implement the codes and apply them to make improvements, especially to blighted areas.
Now, this may be a little bit beyond the scope of what we're talking about here, but I'm just really curious. So say if there is a problem that is prevalent in, say, a structure, you know, all these houses really need to have, I'm making stuff up, better hurricane protection, some tie downs or something. Would it be something where someone says we need to make this an ordinance and have it go to the city commission to make it law, basically?
Code enforcement is separate from building.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Building is regulated by all of the Miami-Dade codes. They have to follow all state statutes. And code enforcement don't get into that part of it.
Okay.
We're strictly city ordinances. So in order to give you an idea of that, say, for instance, you have a chronic problem with a person continuously to park in the top of their front yard.
Right.
That's a city ordinance. You have overgrowth of a vacant lot. That's a city ordinance. You have a house that's in dire need of painting. That's a city ordinance.
So let's use an example. Overgrowth of a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time.
Every day.
Was there must have been a point somewhere in the history of the city where someone said, hey, we need to come up with some rule here to, because these lots are like crazy and they're like jungles. Mm-hmm. What the process would have been, would it have gone in front of the city commission? How does a need like that become code?
It becomes code through the aspect of the planning and zoning administrator.
Okay.
And when that person continues to run up against different problems, or per se, then that person goes to the commission with an ordinance. And then the ordinance is read into record and becomes actual law. Codes are nothing but city ordinances that are laws.
There we are. So, and that's, I think that's where I was headed. Mm-hmm. Code isn't just something that somebody in an office made up. It is gone through the process. It is a real law.
Actually, ordinances are laws.
There you
go. City laws.
Very good.
This versus criminal. Then you have ordinances.
Okay. So let's take it to the next point. Now, we have all these codes, and it's very wide ranging, covers a spectrum of things that need to be looked after. How do you, as a code enforcement officer, enforce it?
Well, code enforcement officers, we technically enforce every ordinance code, not... For instance, police have codes where they can actually tow from the public right-of-way. Like if it's a junk abandoned vehicle on the public right-of-way, the police have codes. Every section of the code is sectioned. Like the code officers, we cover almost every chapter of the code, but it's some chapters that we do not cover. But in some rough respect, we do almost everything.
Wow.
And most everything comes into the code department. Even if it doesn't belong to us, it comes to us. And then we have to maneuver it outside of code to where it's supposed to go.
Okay.
Because most people don't even realize what we do.
Yeah. And this is part of what we're doing here today is it's describing what you guys do. Mm-hmm. All right. So following on what you guys do, how do you discover a violation? Is it something that you visually are patrolling or does someone call you? How's it work?
It's proactive and reactive. Okay. So most of my career, which is 34 years of code enforcement, it's primarily been proactive. We do reactive complaints. And 2 years ago, the governor made a new law where code enforcement could not do anonymous complaints. So any reactive complaint comes in, we have to have the person's name and information before we can follow up on it. But that's not to say that that code officer that's has a zone hasn't already seen that issue in dealing with it. But if it's just a reactive complaint, then we have to have those issues covered in reference to the person's name and information.
I see.
But most of it is about riding your zone, patrolling your zone.
Okay, so that comes to the next question. As a code enforcement officer, you have a physical area of which you patrol.
We have boundaries, and we have a section of the city that's been laid out for each individual code officer. And not to say it like this, but when I joined the city in 2002, it was 6 zones. Now we're up to 14 actual zones.
Wow.
And at one point in time, we were 18 zones. So that means we done decreased a little bit. And the zones are somewhat pretty large because this city has grown with leaps and bounds. I'm a born native, so I know how West Palm started. My mom was a born native, so we've been here almost 100 years in West Palm.
Wow.
So my family. So it's nothing about West Palm that I really don't know for as how it's grown in leaps and bounds.
Well, let me take you there. You have an amazing level of experience with how this community has changed over decades.
Tremendous.
From a code enforcement officer standpoint, has there been a change in the kind of violations you're seeing? Is it changed or has it always sort of been the same?
No, I would say it has gotten, because it's gotten bigger, it's become more repetitious, more of the same stuff, just but over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it not necessarily is being committed by the same violators, it's just that thing has become more repetitious. It's more to do.
Right.
And it's so much more to do until sometime it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Really it can.
Wow.
But if you pace yourself, like I tell a lot of the new code officers, it's all about how you want to style your way of enforcement, of code enforcement. And if you pace yourself, I have a lot of, the way I go about it a lot of time, I adopt a screen. So I work on that screen until just about every code that there is taken care of. Mm-hmm. Not to say that new ones won't arrive.
Right.
But I adopt a screen. So about every 2 to 3 years, we change zones, which sometimes is a good thing, sometimes it's not a good thing, because the codes can be so vast or the violations can be so vast in a zone, you can't even wrap your brain around starting to get the problem solved in 2 to 3 years. So sometimes it takes a while for you to establish a rapport with the residents, which they are the most important to me. I'm a resident too, so that might be a little prejudice on my side. But I just believe in that. That's what we're here to do, is serve the public and improve their lifestyle. Code is about improving their lifestyle.
I think that's the most important message we have to deliver today is, you know, a lot of people see having violations of code being a nuisance or being a pain and, oh, I've got to deal with this. Mm-hmm. You are trying to improve the quality of life, for all of us here
all
in this
of
community.
Us. Yes, yes. And that is our number one goal. That is code enforcement's number one goal, to improve the quality of life. I was just speaking to a resident yesterday, because back in late December, he brought a large RV to a single family community. And he had it positioned in the rear of his yard. He had people living in it. And when I was, it was brought to my attention by other residents, but I had already spotted it. So I wrote the violation. I like to try to sometimes not have direct contact because sometimes our contact can be conflicting. So I believe in putting it on paper. That's what I call putting the violation on paper. And when I did write the violation, he called. He said, but it's my property. See, a lot of people feel that way. It's my property. It's no HOA in this particular area of the city. And they feel like code enforcement is just a bother. So I told him, I said, well, no, it's not an HOA in this particular neighborhood, but it's code enforcement and codes are for the entire city, HOA or not. And this is a single family area, community, and we can't have the property being used in the manner that in which you're trying to use it for. It's not a multi-use neighborhood, which we have a lot of multi-use neighborhoods. Believe it or not, Old Northwood was built, we was coming 1894, city of West Palm Beach, and Old Northwood might have been established in the early 1900s, starting out. But they started out with single family home, cottages in the back, some had a duplex, so that's a mixed use community. A lot of other single family communities were not built in that manner. It's straight single family. So he was like, wow, I didn't know that. So he removed it. He complied. And he called me yesterday and said, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. And because I was really being agitated about the fact that you were making me get rid of my. I said, well, just think about it like this. Suppose after you did what you've done, suppose some of your neighbors want to do the same thing. And can you imagine what would happen if that was to be allowed in that particular single family neighborhood? He said, oh, that would be a, well, it would be a hot mess. That's how he said it. He didn't say it like that. But he said, that would be a mess. Yeah, I said, yes, it would be. Just imagine if it was no code and people just did whatever they wanted to do. You had semi-trucks parked in your front yard, tractor trailers parked on your block. You start something, it just blooms out of control.
What if someone is thinking of doing something and they're not sure if it's going to violate a code or not? How would they find out?
Call code.
Okay.
It's just that simple. If you move into a new neighborhood, I say when you move in this city, period, if it's not a condominium or apartment hierarchy, you know, you can't do much of those. You just live. But if it's something single family, duplex wise, call code. It's okay. So easy to just call and say, would this violate the code or what I can and cannot do?
There you are. And do you happen to have a number?
Yep.
Okay.
561-822-1485. That's my direct number.
Very nice. Very nice. And also, my guess is that there's probably additional information on the city website that people can come visit as well. All right. So you've had a massive amount of experience. What are the most common code violations you see?
Well, I would say, first of all, it is overgrowth. It is trash and debris. Most unpaved parking, inoperable vehicles, junk vehicles is what we call it. Unpaved parking is where you're not parking on a non-dusted surface. Commercial equipment, semis, tractor trailers parked in the neighborhoods, and illegal dumping is number one.
Illegal dumping. Let's talk about that. Yeah. What exactly is illegal dumping?
Illegal dumping is where you would dump something that's not in front of the place where it's going to be picked up. So most people see a vacant lot, they dump on it. Most people see, the city of West Palm have a lot of alleys. And back in the day, they were usable alleys. I mean, we drove down them, we parked in our backyards from them. And today, the alleys aren't as accessible, but people will actually dump junk, all kinds of stuff, in the alleys or in the city easements. And that is the number one problem in this city, especially certain areas. It's habitual.
Now, the people creating this mess and dumping material, are they from these neighborhoods or from their other places?
We don't know unless Sanitation is, of course, sanitation and police basically handles illegal dumping because illegal dumping is a crime. That's not to say code don't write it, because we do. If we can't catch the person, then we can't cite the, you know, actually give a ticket to. Now, I've ran over people in my career actually dumping whatever on the public right of way. Like, you can go into some of these sleepy areas of the city and they literally will pull it in from wherever. Like, for instance, this particular guy had came from the northern end of the city, came to the central part of the city, and he was dumping on the side of a road. I can tell you the road, A.E. Isaac is over in Pleasant City. And I just saw the truck pull up, and then all of a sudden I saw this person putting out drywall. Next thing I know, I saw a sink. I just called the police, said illegal dumping is in progress. Can you send an officer to this location? They did. And that particular time, we were able to arrest that person. Then the judge mandated, when it went to court, that he cleans up that area for the next 6 months.
Wow.
Or stay in jail. So he had a choice. Hmm. So he chose to clean the area for the next 6 months. But it happens every day.
So what you're telling me, it's very important that you need to sort of catch these guys in progress.
If you see it, say something.
So as a citizen, I would pick up the phone, make a call.
To 822-1900. That's the police dispatch.
822-1900.
Okay. Push zero and tell them, I see active, in progress, illegal dumping.
Would you recommend that they do only that? Should they confront the people on the street?
I don't recommend that at all.
Okay.
For any circumstance, do not confront people on the street. Code enforcement, that is one thing that a lot of people have to understand. We do not accost or approach people, period, because technically code enforcement is, our jurisdiction lies behind the sidewalk. We're private property enforcement. So everything on this side of the sidewalk is technically either sanitation or police.
Okay.
We don't have no public right-of-ways, but if you see something, say something.
Say something.
Yeah, because that's the only way we're going to try to get a handle on the problem. But sanitation has put up a lot of cameras. So has the police department put up a lot of cameras in the high areas of illegal dumping.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime they could put up a camera today, and I can guarantee you the camera's gone at night.
Wow.
That's just how fast the people in some of the areas say, well, you're not going to monitor us with a camera.
Mm.
And they knock it down, shoot it down, whatever. Mm. It's coming down. And sometimes they put them up to where you don't know where they are. And we have caught several people with that particular avenue. And some people have literally took pictures of them with their cell phones and called the police. If you can get a tag, the police will go and deal with that particular tag. If you can get, you know, take a picture of it in progress, but the police don't come right away, you can send that to the police department. They're going to go because it's a crime.
So you can take a picture if you can do it safely and not be confrontational.
Yeah, right. Confrontation. We don't advise that at all.
Fantastic. Very interesting indeed. You, at the top of your list, you were talking about overgrowth being something that is very common you deal with.
Yes. We have a lot of vacant properties in the city. We have a lot of not unfortunate, but elderly people that tend to not be able to maintain like they used to.
Yeah.
So being a code enforcement officer, we also, how I want to put it, social workers, we're also, we're supposed to be able to some kind of way help move that forward, especially for our elderly residents, which we got a lot of organizations out there that help. So when I inspect and I find out what the high setup scenario of the home set up, I ask that person when they call, do you have children? And yes, ma'am, I have children. I'll say, do you mind if I call your kids? So here we go, reaching further than code enforcement, because the whole object is compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So how we get there is going to be up to cooperation on both sides. So if those persons are willing to be cooperative, then I try to turn them on to any avenue that can help them. Because Solid Waste Authority has a program where they come out and pressure clean and paint your home. And they mainly do it for violators. We violate you, And I would say, well, let me give you connection with Solid Waste Authority. They do have what they call a paint your heart out. That's the name of their program. And they pressure clean and paint your property with no ties to it. I mean, they give you the paint. They bring out the pressure cleaner. And they bring all the volunteers with them.
I think it's really important. What you're telling me is that it's not just the job of a code enforcement officer to simply write a ticket and say, here you go. You're actually, if they're willing to work with you and are positive, you'll give them a hand.
Exactly. And I think I've been under five mayors, and I can say that each mayor that I've served under has always had that understanding that we're here to help. That's what we're really here to do. I mean, people have all kinds of things happening in their lives, and code enforcement is the last thing anybody wants to hear from. it really is. Because I tell people all the time, a police officer can stop you today and give you a speeding ticket, but you never have to see that person or hear from that person again. Code enforcement, once that violation is written, sometimes it takes up to a year to get the property in full compliance, according to what it is. If it's a big job where you need to replace a roof or you need to have some kind of structural something done. If, like, for instance, we went to a property and we could see where the sidewall was tilted, we get building involved in, but that violation is still written by code. So therefore, now they got to get a structural engineer. Now they need to get the proper building permits. But we're working with it. It might take us a little while, but we're going to get to the compliance. And that's only done when we got full cooperation. If we don't, then it doesn't get done. And the law department sent a nice little lien over to the courthouse.
Right.
But for the most part, I've said in my 34 years, I've had more cooperation than I've not.
That's great to know. And again, really interesting. It is not just you're writing a document, handing it off, and then disappearing. Mm-mm. You're going to be a partner. You're going to make sure this gets done.
We're going to get together, and hopefully for the betterment of your entire surrounding, we're going to make an improvement, a quality improvement.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, people say I'm hard-nosed, but I'm not. I just like to see things improved, and I'm big on that. I'm big on that.
We have an opportunity here. You have a mic in front of you. We're talking to people who live here in the city of West Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. What would you want to say? What is the message you'd like to share with people about what you do and what you're trying to do?
I would love for my fellow residents and people that I serve, which is the citizens of West Palm Beach, to understand that code enforcement is here to help, to improve and improve the quality of life for all of the residents. And in doing that, it's going to take cooperation on both sides. And my ultimate goal is the quality of life. So that's the ultimate goal of code enforcement.
Valerie, thank you so much for your time today. It is amazing to know what you do and what your co-workers do to make the city a beautiful, safe, great place to live.
Yes, and it is. It is. Everybody have their little, issues. Every city does. But we're here to make our city great.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening to this podcast direct from City Hall in West Palm Beach, Florida. We hope you enjoyed our conversation today. And if you did, please subscribe and let your friends know we're here. We also want to hear from you. Tell us what topics you'd like to know more about. Just drop us a note at podcast@wpb.org. The City Center Podcast is a production of the City of West Palm Beach Communications Department. I'm Jerry Marcello. We'll see you next time.